you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tracy from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship? Then check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks. Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business. You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels' family of 22 brands has over 7,400 locations and the perfect hotel for any traveler you want to be. Like a Cambria Hotel, serving up locally inspired craft cocktails for all my folks who maybe want to meet up and talk about Mad Royals. Check into a Radisson Hotel with flexible workspaces for you strivers who listen during business travel. Or a Comfort Hotel with free hot breakfast, family-friendly pools, and big spacious rooms for the parents who listen with their kids and need a little retreat. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you when you book direct at choicehotels.com, where travels come true. Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hello and happy Friday. I'm Tracy V. Wilson.
And I'm Holly Fry.
We talked about penicillin this week.
Sure did.
This is one of those topics that I was surprised to realize nobody had done on the show before, because we have lots of topics in the past archive that are already done, we don't really think about. And it was also one that I had kind of in my head actively resisted doing, because I was like, everybody knows this story about the mold and the Petri dish. Obviously, a whole lot more than just the mold and the Petri dish, which was the whole focus of the episode. One reason that I was familiar with that story is that when I was a child, I really loved to do the school science fair.
You did?
Yeah, I loved it. I loved it a lot. When I was in, I think, fifth grade, my science fair was on mold, or my project was on mold. I grew mold on different foods. I remember there was bread and there was, I think, lemons, and I don't remember what else. And I had them in different conditions. So I had ones that were left on the counter and ones that were in like a Ziploc bag on the counter. And I think ones that were in the fridge. And because I was a big nerd, I also wrote a number of papers on other topics that were relevant to my mold project. And one of them was about penicillin. And I put them in a little folder, and the little folder was like attached to my little science fair triptych. I won the science fair at my school. I did not win the regional science fair that I then went to with my project.
I was so sloppy about science fair. I did. Yeah. The best one I ever did was about different kinds of fabrics and how they catch fire. But that's probably an indicator of who I was as a kid.
I think that's a great idea for a project, though.
Would be if I didn't wait until the very last minute and kind of like throw it together. I could throw together some visuals, but there was never any real science to back it up. It was always like, although that one was fun because I had burnt chunks of fabric on it. But I never wanted to play the science fair game. I was like, bah.
I was very into it. There was other stuff I was not at all into. I think in middle school, in our PE class, One year we had to write a report on, I think, 10 sports. And the next year we had to write a one page. I think it was one page per sport. We had to do it on 20 sports. And I put that off until the night before, at which point a 20 page report, basically at that point, to do in a night, not possible.
Did you plagiarize yourself?
Oh, well, there was some just like scrawling things that were barely paraphrased from the encyclopedia. But it was not done. This is one of the only times in my life, because I was a very rule following child. It was one of the only times in my life that I tried to fake being sick so that I would not have to go to school. I did the thing where I tried to hold the thermometer to the light bulb to look like I had a fever.
Oh my goodness.
My mom knew that I was not sick.
That's pretty funny.
I thought it was a pointless waste of my time. That was a big problem with me in school. If I thought something was a pointless waste of my time, I just would not do it. But I thought science fair projects were a great use of my time, including writing totally additional supplementary reports on mold.
I was like, I'm going to go make a dress. I know. Work on this. Here's the thing that got me wondering that maybe you came across in your research, or maybe not. So, in the reclamation of penicillin,
mm-hmm.
coming from urine, I'm trying to think of the best way to word this question. Not because it's sensitive, but just because I want to make sure I use the right approach here. Does that mean that urine that was not collected could have been just introducing all kinds of penicillin into the general?
Yes.
You know, waste system, and possibly also contributing to the problem we now have mm-hmm. of antibiotic resistant things.
As I understand it, yes. Not just penicillin. Like, there are a lot of drugs that come out in the urine, and there's just a whole discussion of like what is the environmental effect of all of that, which is not a subject I am versed on at all, but I know it's a concern that exists. Another thing about the whole resistance question is those very first patients, most of whom were successfully treated, were getting a much smaller dose than is mm-hmm. standard now. And part of the reason for that is like to make sure it really is a lethal dose to the bacteria and not something that's just going to cause resistance. But the fact that treating one patient could use up
all of the penicillin,
that blew my mind a little bit.
Yeah. Yes, I also was unsurprised, but still had my, for real, that once again, egos became part of this whole party.
Yeah,
I get it. I was more interested in the ethics part of it. Those are interesting discussions to have about.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can understand the logic for kind of all of those positions.
We didn't get into it very much in the episode, but I read several papers that were about what Germany figured out during the war, what they didn't figure out. There was one paper that was all about Hitler being treated with penicillin that had been seized from somebody that had gotten it from Fleming. So it like wasn't something that had been sent directly to a German researcher. It was like some had been seized from someone in France or somewhere that Germany occupied that then was used to treat Hitler. And there was just a lot of focus in research puzzling out like what Germany did or did not know, which I was like, why is this something that we really need to know this much about at this point?
Right.
Yeah. It does seem like there were experiments that happened, but no like large scale German production facility. And there was one thing that I had in that line and I took out because I got confused about it when I was reading back over my stuff, and then I could not find the source of it in my original research. That was, I think, in the Netherlands. Like, the Netherlands had done their own penicillin research and had a whole facility set up, and there was a German guard that was stationed there, and so they just kept that guy drunk on gin so that he would not be too attentive to what they were doing.
You know, like you do.
Yeah. So anyway, that did not wind up back in the thing. I am very appreciative that Fleming noticed something in that petri dish that did lead to an important thing. But man, the whole... I feel like every children's book about it is just basically like, and then we had penicillin, just disregarding the part that he stopped working with it and it was not made into a usable drug to treat people until 10 years later by totally different researchers.
Yeah.
Without whose work we also would not have penicillin. The last time I took penicillin... I was surprised that was what they prescribed to me because I was like, we're still using penicillin?
I don't even remember the last time I had penicillin.
I had a tooth that was going to need a root canal, but for reasons we could not do the root canal anyway. Or we could not do the root canal like right that minute. It had to be postponed right. A bit. But it also was not like an urgent situation in that moment. And so the endodontist had was like, okay, I'm going to prescribe you with these antibiotics while you're away. If you start developing these symptoms in your tooth, start taking it. And I was like, okay, what are you going to prescribe to me? Because I just, there's one I have an allergy to. And she was like, penicillin. And I was like, people still have that? What?
Yeah, I literally cannot, I could not tell you the last time I had penicillin. Feels like it's been decades.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
So anyway, I'm glad antibiotics were developed. I hope we find some workable alternatives as antibiotic resistance becomes an increasingly bigger problem. Oh, that which reminds me of another thing that I found in research that didn't go into the episode was there has been some discussion of whether the team would have totally abandoned this whole avenue of research if they have tested penicillin on guinea pigs because it was found to be toxic in guinea pigs. But later research suggested that it was not actually toxic in guinea pigs. It was just that it wiped out the like beneficial intestinal flora of the guinea pigs. And as a consequence, all the guinea pigs got C. diff.
Oh no!
Yeah. Which is a very sad story and also made me realize that C. diff has been around a lot longer than I realized because I feel like that's a thing that I've only heard about in the last decade or so.
Forever.
Yeah. So anyway, that's my last random aside of things that I read in research that did not make it into the episode.
Just to make everyone squirm a little bit.
Yeah.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs, and if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from and the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a papertarian, someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet. And also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day, seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if everyone's being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource, and paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go papertarian? Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
We talked about the Field of Cloth of Gold this week.
We did.
I have so many feelings, and I know you do too.
Uh-huh.
Do you want to start?
Sure. So for literal years, I had written on my episode shortlist, Field of Cloth of Gold. Actually, what I had think I had written was Field of the Cloth of Gold, because a lot of people put a the right there, which makes it a little weird when you know what cloth of gold actually is.
Right.
But like for a very long time, it was there on my list to do an episode on Field of Cloth of Gold in the beginning of June of 2020. And then...
See, I never asked you if you were doing this because I thought Tracy does not want to talk about two men being ding-dongs and trying to outdo one another.
And here's where we get to when the time to research that episode rolled around. We were in what I feel like is like the acute phase of the pandemic. The pandemic is still going on, but like we were still in the part where there were no vaccines and we didn't really know a lot of stuff yet. And things were closed and there was just perpetual uncertainty. And all of these people in my life were like just having all kinds of things happen to them that were bad. And I could not be there for any of them because of the pandemic that was going on. And George Floyd was murdered and the protests followed that. And there was just so much strife and chaos and uncertainty. And I started looking at the Field of Cloth of Gold and went, I can't, and deleted it off of the shortlist.
Fabric.
That's my story.
I love it. I love it. This, I did, I will say, while I was researching this, I just kept texting my best friend and being like, ugh, and then expletives over some of the just weird, to me, behavior. Praise Greedo, I was not born a royal because I would throw my hands up at all of the weird rules and behaviors and posturing involved. I mentioned... in the podcast, the bickering over the field, and they eventually did agree that they would have it more or less equidistant between the two encampments, which put it in English territory. And then to kind of make things a little more equitable, they extended the actual field of play 50 feet towards the French encampment. So it would be a little closer to it. And I'm like, this is the kind of stuff that would make me absolutely mad with fury.
Like, yeah. I would
this is ridiculous. Get over yourselves. There have been some very interesting, I did not go through them all because they get in the weeds in a way I was not ready to for this particular aspect of it. Some very interesting economic studies and breakdowns of where all the money went, and particularly related to the pay that workmen were receiving.
Mm-hmm.
And how, of course, it really took estimated equivalent or perhaps even more people to put this thing together than actually attended it.
Mm.
And of course, they didn't. Yes, the economies were bolstered to some degree, but it wasn't like any of them were like, I'm rich now because I made some stuff for the kings. There's very interesting breakdowns. In the mid 20th century, there was a big economic study done of like how all the money had gone various places and what it did and did not benefit for the actual countries. The one thing that kind of is attached to that I think is very interesting and isn't something measurable and it's not documented was that it probably put French and English workers in a position where they would have been side by side working on projects together for probably the first time in either of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's such an interesting aspect that if this thing were happening today, that would be the human interest story that appears on all networks, right? Of like, this carpenter from London is now friends with this,
yeah.
this bricklayer from Calais, which would be very interesting. But we don't know a whole lot about how that may have informed people's perceptions of the long-term enemy at that point. But I really wish we had some accounts of that.
Yeah. That reminds me of articles that I've read in more recent years about like people who serve in the military or people who do some kind of like service program who wind up meeting and becoming really close to people who are outside of their like where they grew up or their social and economic class, and how
right.
speculation about whether nations that have some kind of mandatory service for people when they sort of reach adulthood have more social cohesion because of those. And so I just sort of makes me curious of like whether how that made like everyday people living in England and France feel about the other during yeah. that era.
This is a little bit of a jump, but this is what I love about space exploration.
Okay.
Is because, and it's why I get choked up when like I see stuff like years ago, you know, I got to go see the JWST when it was at Goddard Space Flight Center and do some projects there. And I would get choked up looking at it. And to me, it's because it's exactly that. It's the best of us. It is people from many countries, often various walks of life, from various socioeconomic levels who have all dedicated their lives to furthering human exploration of space.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is magical.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's to me, that's like why those things are just brain exploding in the best way.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a papertarian, someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet. And also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day, seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if everyone's being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource, and paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go papertarian? Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
How much have you read about the painting, the big famous painting, which will show up on our social, of the Field of Cloth of Gold?
Really nothing. I had seen the painting before, and I had seen the dragon, and I did not know it was supposed to be a kite, and I was just like, why is there a dragon there?
Yes, it's a kite. It's a kite that the English made. I don't think we included that in the episode, but worth including for consideration when you're deciding if you think it's a dragon or a salamander. Here's an interesting thing about it. The main image of Henry VIII, because he actually appears in a few places suggesting different aspects of this whole thing, but the main one where he is riding on his horse into the processional, for reasons we don't know, his head was removed and replaced.
Well, that's weird.
After the painting had been completed.
Huh.
And we don't know if that was like a thing where his likeness was changed for some reason, or if it was perhaps like a preservation situation. We do not know. But I think it's very, very interesting.
Yeah.
Henry VIII is such a trip in many ways. And I do sort of like, we didn't talk about it a lot. We talked about how this was Henry when he was at his most handsome, but Francis or Francois the First was similarly at his sort of like physical peak. He was roughly the same height as Henry VIII. He was also considered very handsome and, you know, athletic, and obviously was very athletic since he was apparently an expert at wrestling, which was a very popular sport in France at the time. So it made sense that he would have known a lot about wrestling. But, you know, the idea of these two incredibly like young, very powerful men having this big party together is part of why it's so compelling, was so compelling then and remains so compelling to people now. Just the, you know, two dudes peacocking around while they pretend that they're going to be BFFs forever is a very, very interesting premise.
I'm glad that we did this episode now, but I'm also glad that, like, I that I did my, I did not force myself to like soldier through just because it was the 500th anniversary of the thing. That's the only reason it had been on my short list was because of that. Because even when I was reading your outline and I was reading about all of that, I was like, I am so glad I did not force myself through this.
I mean, I'm of the lucky mindset where I find most of their behavior hilarious rather than angering.
Uh-huh.
So it was kind of fun and funny. And I would be like texting my best friend and go, oh, Henry VIII is apparently on the verge of tears. It's very funny, this whole the posturing. I do love the idea of outfits that spell out a poem.
Yeah, that's
Woo!
Amazing.
Francis getting my endless respect for that one. So I'm just going to think about them every time I see someone being very fake in their behavior to try to jockey for their own personal benefit. I'm like, oh, this is your own personal field of cloth of gold. I see. You see. All right. We hope that your upcoming weekend is an absolute delight and that is not filled with any irritating pomp or false posturing on anyone's part. And that if you have things to do, they go smoothly and they're not too troublesome and you can squeak out a little bit of time just for yourself. If you want to hang around, we'll be right back here tomorrow. We're going to have a classic episode. And then on Monday, there will be more new episodes.
Stuff You Missed in History Class is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.